This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Town, Vegas, as well as spending cash, $5,000 for you and each of your three friends. An outstanding opportunity here from Odyssey Sports. It is a national contest. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company is his each and every Monday. Is, of course, the head coach and program director of Team Thad, of course, of the Nike EYBL circuit. Our basketball expert here at 92.9 FM ESPN on Twitter, on socials, at Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, good day, sir.
Great day, great week of sports.
Let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. We, of course, will have our overreactions to primarily what we saw over the weekend. We'll start first with the Super Bowl. Also wanted to run a theory I've been seeing by. We have a consistent listener that threw an idea in about Ja Morant as he is adjusting to the whistle, or maybe the way that games have been called since really the All-Star game last year. Wanted to get Herd's thoughts on that. Jason Munn's going to join us here in about 35 minutes or so. We'll talk Tiger basketball with Munn's. The Tigers hold on and knock off Temple yesterday, avenging their only conference loss of the season. Tigers now 20-4. They are 14th in both the AP and coaches poll. They're up three spots in the AP poll to 14, up one spot in the coaches to 14. Want to get Jason's thoughts on what he saw this weekend. He's also been taking a look at some of the metrics and a couple of the things that might impact the Tigers moving forward. So want to get his thoughts on all of that. Of course, the Tigers without Tyrese Hunter yesterday, no problem. They just move on to 20-4. We'll get into the list during hour number two. AD made his debut for Dallas and had a phenomenal start, but ends up leaving the game with a non-contact injury, potentially out for over a month. The Dalton Connect Mark Williams trade fell through, so I want to discuss that and maybe a few other things from the NFL. And then we got to do it, Herd. We did it over the summer. Now that we've seen the end of the 2024 season, and of course, Jalen Hurts made his campaign for everyone that has doubted him, has a phenomenal day yesterday. Let's rank our top 10 quarterbacks. We'll do that. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But I think first, let's start with the game last night, and you were texting me a little bit, and I just really felt from about the second or third possession, when you realized Mahomes was clearly really sped up, and when he wasn't able to do kind of his patented let the defensive ends rush wide, step up in the pocket, kind of escape out, kind of the back door, if you will, and then find something down the field, when it was just he would step up into the pocket and get mauled by any one of the Eagles defensive linemen that were there. My big takeaway from the game last night is we can talk quarterback play. I'm happy to do it. But last night was one for the big fellas up front on both sides of the football. Sometimes football can be really simple. Whose big people are better? And what we saw last night, the Philadelphia Eagles, their defensive line was way better than the Chiefs' offensive line. And on the other end of the football, I thought what was so massive is Jalen Hurts, it felt like, could do whatever he wanted back there. He was clean for most of the game, and then when he needed to run, he was able to take off and run. To me, it was just all about the line of scrimmage.
No, Jeff, like you say, we was texting. I agree. And I told you before the show, is kudos to Jalen Hurts.
Well-earned.
Well-earned. Did a great job. I mean, he threw the ball really good outside of that one play.
He made one mistake all night, and honestly, it ended up not really impacting that much because part of the whole story for me is, like, the Chiefs just had awful field position in the first half, and it was like they got the ball back immediately.
Yeah, because even with the interception, I think it was still deeper on their side.
Yeah, it was, like, inside the five. Yeah,
That it didn't affect. And so, and even with that throw, I'll be real with you, both defenses, for the most part, was good because they went out of their way ball-hawking last night. So, I mean, even Pat Mahomes, even though it was in the area, those are balls that don't always get intercepted.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, and, Jeff, this probably – a different subject. He had like 200 and some yards. It feel like this year with the new defense, 200 and some yards is kind of, for me, feel the look average. Now it's a big deal this year.
Yeah, especially with the Eagles, where, you know, the Eagles want to run the football.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. So he did that. But with that being said, and Pat McCaffrey, I think that's his name. I was watching his show earlier today. He was like, the thing he appreciated about football, everything else in the world has been similarized or bland or this or that in 20. But one thing for the rest of our life, in football, if you in the trenches, they can't. You're going to have to be tough. It's going to have to be
100%.
Man on man, that type of, you know.
Those guys are built different.
Built different. He's like, you could be a kicker punter. So I say that to say, Eagles defensive line guys, I don't think it's talked about enough, Jeff. I don't think we can say it enough how impressive that was. Like, I didn't watch them all year, Jeff, and they're going against the best team, you know, of this decade probably. And, dude, they were back there so much without blitz. I'm talking about, like, 3, 4, 5 sacks. And you're like, what is going on here? Like,
yeah, here's the stat. This is from Bill Barnwell over at ESPN. The Eagles didn't blitz once on Mahomes' 42 dropbacks. He has the note, they had a couple of plays that technically would qualify as a blitz, so sending 5 or more, but the plays were negated because of either penalty or they technically blitzed a linebacker and then dropped someone into coverage, so a zone blitz.
Same.
So of the 42 dropbacks, Fangio rushed 4 players 39 times and 3 players 3 times. Mahomes was pressured on 45% of his dropbacks. And that was in the 3 quarters before the Eagles started mixing in some backups.
Yeah.
It was so dominant. The Eagles put in their second offense and defense.
Yeah, I didn't know it had gotten that bad.
Yeah,
so they asked in the Super Bowl.
Kenny Pickett. So some people hit a popular prop bet is over 2.5 quarterbacks or 2.5 passers throwing because of trick plays and whatnot. It actually hit not because of a trick play. It hit because Kenny Pickett got in and on third down. He was trying to throw to get a first down to ice the game.
That's true. Yeah. It was unbelievable that defensive line, just how they, man, I can't explain. Jeff, they were literally, and like you say, with no blitzing. And to Pat Mahomes' defense, guys, like, you could take the greatest boxer. Sometime when you get hit a certain way, you're just not yourself. So I can't really blame, not to take up for Pat Mahomes, people, oh, you can't compare him to Brady. Dude, I don't think Brady anybody can handle if you can't even barely get the ball out your hands or every time you move to the left and the right, somebody already there.
I don't know anyone that would have had success yesterday. I mean, maybe you could make the argument Lamar because he would just be able to escape it. But, I mean, that would be under duress because it's not just you're under duress. They're winning with 4 guys at the snap, and it was basically every single guy getting beat. The tackles would get beat, and then the interior of the line would get beat. So you've got nowhere to run. And, again, I'm not – Mahomes was bad. I mean, the 2 interceptions still should not have been thrown. With that said – Nothing works when you cannot block.
You know what? You know who I'm with. I'm with the Niners. So I'm not sitting here making excuses for Mahomes. But you know this, Jeff. You've been around sports your whole life, and you know the body and the mind. Them interceptions were still caused because he was under the stress or—
He was pressing so bad.
Yeah.
You could feel it.
You got to understand, when you constantly getting hit, you do become jittery too. You feel what I'm saying?
Oh, you're trying to get your timings off. So actually, I thought another play that maybe people didn't focus on, but I think Brady did a pretty good job last night of mentioning it. When the game was, air quotes, still possible, there was 4th and 2 near midfield, and he was trying to throw an out route, I think, to Hopkins. And he got the snap, and you could tell he just thought they were going to lose up front, so he didn't even get the laces, and he just tries to throw it really quickly out to the right on 4th down, and the throw's behind, and it's allowed to get batted away. But that was directly the result. He actually probably could have caught it, found the laces, stepped into the throw, made a good throw, but because he was just— everything was just so sped up, he was just trying to get it out of his hand.
No, I agree. I know exactly what play you're talking about. And on the flip side, you were saying it all year, and I wasn't paying attention, but at one point before the D-line took over, I could see the zone stuff you was talking about. It was like both quarterbacks was a kind of— – that's why I would say Jalen got more time to be comfortable too. And also, – some of the big plays they made, not to take away from the Eagles, you got to understand how much they had the ball.
Oh,
so
I mean,
it
was insane. Yeah, it was like 3-1.
Yeah, the Chiefs got a good defense, but if you know sports, sometimes it can get missed. Like, the defense just got dog. I don't agree with that. It's just they eventually— – you're going to get tired if you're on the field that long.
Well, on top of that, it's like the Chiefs gave up 40 points, okay. I put 14 of it on turnovers. One's a pick six, and the other one was effectively a pick six. They had to go 14 yards, and I credit them for converting the drive. But that's 14 points right there, and then to your entire point, at a certain point, you just get gassed. And then they're trying to force the issue because they're down and they're trying to get the ball back. They're sending everybody, and it's just really hard to play defense when your offense can't score because basically you're trying to do everything you can to give them the ball back, but that leaves you exposed. And we saw that on the knockout punch, the throw to Devontae Smith, which might have been one of the best throws I've ever seen Jalen make. But, I mean, that's simply because, hey, they're in heavy personnel. Everyone's thinking that they're going to run the ball with Saquon, just try to salt this thing away. Nope, deep shot right over the top, and that's all she wrote.
Because if we think about it, they game plan going in actually worked. Unless I might have missed a few plays, but when I was watching the TV, it felt like Saquon never got anything past, what, 5, 6, 7 yards or something like
that. So Barnwell wrote this. Imagine being a Chiefs fan and getting to see pieces of the box score before the game in advance. The Chiefs did the best job of anyone against Saquon, who ran 25 times for 57 yards. The Eagles went 3-for-12 on 3rd downs and failed to convert their only 4th down attempt. That was the PI call that I felt it was marginal at best, but I think they also got the makeup call the next drive. Failed to convert their only 4th down, turned the ball over in the red zone, and averaged 5.1 yards per play, fewer than the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs were greatly aided by garbage time. But to your point, if I'm an Eagles fan and I hear Saquon ran it 25 times and only got 57 yards and we were 3-for-12 on 3rd down, I'm not feeling great, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, you would think, oh, we getting blown out today with Pat Mahomes. And so that's why I say I don't think we can fully blame that defense. They were in tough positions. That defense, and that's why earlier you said the offensive line did a great job. They did, but I'm just going to say okay because it was at one point in time early in the game, it felt like they was getting at Jalen too a little bit too, like the first three possessions. You could tell the first three possessions, like you said, it was going either way. Now, what did scare me about the offense was that interference shouldn't have been called, and I kind of thought it was finna go to Chiefs way after that. Cause I was like, hold on. Y'all go call it right there with the game. It's just starting. But it did show me, and he used to play with A.J. Brown used to play with the Titans, right?
Yep.
Okay. It did show me in that one possession, though, like, oh, he looks really good compared to the corner.
And they put McDuffie on him. McDuffie's a great corner.
Exactly. Both had great defense coming into the game. Yeah. And that was one of the Chiefs built up this year. They defense had actually been leading them, but people have been paying attention. Earlier in the year, they were like 7-0, and I was reading some stats. Chiefs offensive stats was way lower than they had been in years.
Yes. You as a coach will probably agree with this. There's the adage that eventually when you're in a postseason sport, your flaws get exposed. I don't know if it bats 1,000. I mean, there's been plenty of times where I feel like you see great games and one team just got the ball last. Okay, so be it. I'm not going to sit there and go, that team was flawed. They got exposed. But what they had done all year was they were not very good on first down and on second down. But Mahomes was absolutely otherworldly on third down. This year, on the games that he played, postseason and regular season, 50% on third down, far and away the best player. And so what would happen last night is on first and second down, they were either getting nothing, getting sacked, they couldn't run the ball at all, and so it's third and long, and that pass rush, which was only just had four guys, it wasn't like, hey, they're sending the house on him. They were just absolutely eating him up on third down. They went 0-for-9 on their first third downs. They got a first down on their very first offensive snap. They did not get another one the rest of the first half.
I remember, if the year is right, maybe 2001, 2002, the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, 2000 Ravens.
That's 2000. Okay, 2000.
2001 Super Bowl, 2000 Ravens. Yeah.
You got the 85 Bears.
Yes.
I don't want to take this. Hold on. I don't want to get crazy with this. I know a lot of people listening. But from what I didn't see with my eyes, I didn't see the 85 one because I wasn't born 2 years later. But I mean, I studied it. I did see the Ravens because I was an Eddie George and Steve McNerf. We went the year before.
Yep.
So I used to watch. They was in the same. But to me, in recent years, this is the best defensive line work I have ever seen dominance in a Super Bowl. Yes, defense.
The other ones, obviously, I'm going to be a little bit biased here. I tend to agree with you because it wasn't just – I mean, they basically – it was 34-0. They shut them out. And this is Patrick Mahomes, the greatest player of his generation, all that. The Giants in the 07 Super Bowl or the 08 Super Bowl, the 07 season, when they had Strahan, Tuck, OC, they got after Brady – and they held him to 14.
Yep.
But to me, this was better than that. And also, you have to factor in, we've changed the rules to where it's impossible on him. And they just straight up were winning when the ball was snapped, and it was over.
You're right. I'm probably missing a few more because I did think about the Giants. I think there's a Steelers in there somewhere.
So the Steelers pretty much shut out the Seahawks. I think they held them to 10. I want to say that was maybe the 06 Super Bowl. And then the other one I'd throw out there, because this is what that game felt like to me. This felt like what the Seahawks did to the Broncos.
Hey, man,
that 13.
From the first drop.
Yes, you realize, they never got to midfield. Like, this was the same. That game felt the exact same to me as last night.
I'm just going to say, I'm not trying to be a prisoner of the moment. I'm going to have to go to sleep and think about it and tell you next Monday. But if I had to say today, I'm going to still go with last night. Reason being, now the Giants are close because it was Brady. But my thing is, I'm going to remember this, Jeff, if we're doing this show and I'm fortunate enough to be with you 10 years. I'm going to remember somebody running through the line. This looked like video. I don't know if you remember NFL Blitz.
Baby. On N64? Or if you're the real ones who play at the arcade game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Except they wasn't blitzing.
Yeah.
Like, even with the Ravens, you still had the backside of Ray Lewis and them. Now, them big boys up front was I think the one guy died. His name, funny name, and it was the nose guard.
Oh,
Goose. The Goose. And even with y'all done a great job. I remember y'all rattling Brady a lot. I don't remember him getting hit like Mahomes.
He was under duress, Billy. He was not getting sacked like this.
Yeah, he was. They was literally back-to-back plays. Sack. He throwing it. Is he doing it? I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? So last night, defensive line just deserves so much credit, and it's one of the best I have ever seen, especially in a real Super Bowl.
I can't remember seeing a team that basically never blitzed and got this kind of heat. Because it was basically every other possession or every other snap, he's getting pressure. And then you factor in this, they knew they couldn't block him, so they were trying to get the ball out of Pat's hand quickly, and it still didn't matter. They were still getting to him. And you could tell, you know, like when you play Madden and it's not going well, and then you're like, all right, I got to get back to my bread and butter. Like what the plays that you always work, and it's like you could see them. They had Kelce out wide. They brought him in like that short motion to either figure out if it's going to be man or zone. And like they had those plays like, all right, when all else fails, we can go to this. When that didn't work, you realize like, uh-oh, this could be nighty-night.
Man, I was looking, and so in basketball, right, I'm going to be real with you. When you start getting beat by 20, 30 points, like, yes, you a real man, but when your team getting beat, have you ever seen a coach go sit down? Sometimes it, like, take the spunk out of you, too. Like,
there was one game, I cannot remember if it was, maybe it was Self when they played AD's Kentucky team, and someone can tweet in if I'm wrong.
Is it? I know what
you're
talking
about. But I remember he came to the post-game presser, and he takes this swig of water, and he goes, oh, I was hoping it was vodka. Because it was just like one of these, like, there was nothing we could do tonight.
I talked to his assistant after that game. That was the year Kentucky had, like, 8 pros. He was like, man, they started putting the bench in, and yeah. they was pros. You talking about when they were first starting
yes.
it?
Because they brought, I think, Harrison, with the Harrison twins.
They started, but Booker and them were coming off the bench. That was the year they did what's the stuff called?
The line changes?
Yeah.
The hockey changes?
So I felt like last night, I think Andy Reid is like play call top three of all time. He was looking very confused, like, what am I going to go to? Some of my best stuff. I'm trying to do wrinkles. Like,
nothing worked.
It's nothing he could do. It was nothing he can do. And the Eagles were really motivated. I think they say they got their players back, too. They were more healthy because in the NFC Championship game, I heard some of the linemen were playing out of position and things like that. But
they were definitely healthier on the offensive line. They also got the linebacker back who played with the club.
And we got to agree to this, too, Jeff. Like, another thing is make this impressive. I'm not saying Pat Mahomes is Lamar, but Pat Mahomes do got sneaky speed. They usually
extremely slippery.
Yeah, and they usually embarrass people.
Yes.
He looked it like he was a kind of slow. He couldn't get by these guys.
No, you could tell it was like when the drop back step up didn't work, he was almost like, uh-oh. Because he knew I can't just bail right because our tackles are getting beat. And so I can't just roll the pocket a little to the right. And then the other thing is, like, if you start rolling to one side of the field, it's not just that they were just sending four. That meant they had seven in coverage. So if you're rolling and you're trying to cut the field in half, well, now basically, like, that was the other thing. Their DBs did such a good job just in zone of just pass it off. Like, there was never – I never really felt like there were busted coverages, whatnot. So now if you try to roll to one side of the field, you're asking them to cover – half the distance, and nobody was open.
No, nobody was open, man. And you know what? Not to sound like an Eagles hater, but it was so dominant. If I was Pat Mahomes or somebody, and I was just being silly or just mad and being a sore loser, I would want those guys drug tested today. I mean, that's how dominant.
No, it's like they felt like they were on something.
They looked it, because I watched the games the last few weeks, and they've been dominant, but this was too dominant. They looked it very fast. They looked it very, and it was all of them.
There's no question. The Commanders moved the ball better. The Rams were kind of start and stop. Like, they would have fits where, like, kind of they would go and score. But then I felt like that game was so just dictated by the snow. It's like, I don't really know. The Packers, I felt like, couldn't really do anything. But, I mean, it was 34-0. Like, we can nitpick. Like, my deal is, like, The final score of 40-22 felt like the absolute closest that game could have been.
When you look back in the history books, yeah, there's actually
it's like,
make
no,
it
that,
look like
that was not. They didn't score 22. Like they just, it's like you can tip your cap. Like I did feel like Mahomes kind of went full Dak. Like Mahomes' final stat line doesn't reflect how poorly he played.
No, it don't.
Because like he ends up throwing for I think like 257, three scores. Because you know he hits the big play to Worthy, and then he hit another touchdown throw to Worthy. But it's like, man, that was not what it actually looked like.
Not at all. And I'm actually happy for him because some people, you know, we're prisoner of the moment both ways. Some people are fully against him. Like,
oh, I think the country was fully against them.
No, but now I'm saying to the point where they like don't bring up no he's still the best player of his generation. People like don't bring up no debates with him being the GOAT. Stephen A. Smith actually said this morning. Now you can't bring him with Brady for a while. He said maybe, and he's still young, but he said now we even got to jump out the last night, got to jump Joe Montana back in front of him.
So Joe goes 4-for-4. My thing is,
you, man. He
goes 4-for-4. He's 4-0. The thing that I don't know what to do with is, okay, through their first five Super Bowls, Brady and Mahomes were both 3-2. Brady's two losses, though, were by 3 and 4 to the Giants. Mahomes' two losses are, was it 31-9? I think it was 31-9. I want to say it was a weird score when the Bucs beat him, and then last night by 18. So it's actually like when you add up the total aggregate point total, in his three wins, he still has a negative point differential because of those two losses. Does that matter? Because I'm kind of in the camp of, man, really, Ollie, we're really just judging him by wins. And there's also something to be said where we probably overreact in this game. There's literally never been a team in the Super Bowl era to get to three straight. They're the first team to do it. I still thought it was still premature to say he was going to have a case against Brady. But that's the other thing. Pat's not even 30. I mean, how many more cracks does he get at this? 5? 6? I don't know. I mean, he's made 5 Super Bowls in 7 seasons as a starter. His worst performance, the floor for him, is losing in overtime of the AFC Championship game. That's the shortest they've made it through a postseason. And then that's kind of the other thing that you realize is, I feel like what they need to get back is probably a little bit quicker fix. It's like they're going to probably have to retool the offensive line a little bit. I guess there is kind of a question of, if you take Kelce away, is he going to have like the safety blanket? And that's another thing I thought last night that was key. I couldn't really tell. Like there was like a first third down where he throws to Kelce kind of like on a little like stop route for the first down. I couldn't tell if the throw was low, if he dropped it, whatnot. But Kelce, this was the first postseason where I felt like Kelce doesn't really look like he's still got it. And maybe he can't just do it solely on Moxie. Like Moxie and knowing where to be. For him to be able to be effective, they needed some time to throw because he was going to have to go find little holes and zones, whatnot. And that just wasn't the case. But then there's also this reality. It's like, how many defenses can replicate what the Eagles did last night? I mean, they feel like the only one to me.
Yeah, it's – you right, Kansas City, I feel like, because Mahomes is so young, they still got a big gap of winning to do in his lifetime. I think the only slight problem is for the next 2-3 years is – they saying the Eagles roster is in check. They don't have to, because they've been paid a lot of people, and they actually don't have to make, from what I heard this morning, another like main people for like another 2-3 years. Most people are locked up for at least another year or two.
Yeah. The other thing, though, is all it takes is a couple injuries.
For sure.
Like, I think that's kind of the other thing to remember. It's like the Chiefs felt so inevitable all season. But when you go back and you look at the arc of the Patriots win three in from 01 to 04. So they win 3 and 4. Then they don't win another one for 10 years. They got there twice. Giants got them. But like that kind of is the ebb and flow. It's like teams feel inevitable and like you can't get over the top of them. But like I wonder this. Does what the Eagles did last night, does that change how the Ravens build their team? Does that change maybe how the Bills build their team? Who the heck knows with the Bengals, because they have that unfortunate situation where you probably have the quarterback that can go toe-to-toe with anyone, but you've got the owner that's very cheap, and Joe's going up and down Radio Row last week, like begging them to pay T. Higgins. Well, with all due respect to Joe, it's like, dude, the offense wasn't the problem. Like honestly, I kept thinking last night, like, does this make the price tag of Myles Garrett go through the roof? Because what you saw last night is all the ways that I feel like teams have tried to match up and beat the Chiefs, which is largely getting the best DBs that they can. It always kind of goes back to what I've always felt like, you know what the best way to get better DBs? Have much better defensive linemen. You don't have to cover very long. Usually the throws aren't going to be as good if they're getting after the quarterback. And so I'm just sitting there going like, man, the formula is pretty simple. It's like, get the dudes up front. And this is where they deserve credit. And it was like Jeff was going through some of their picks, and it was a nice trip down memory lane for me getting mad at the Giants in the draft. It was, we traded the pick where they got Devontae Smith, and I loved Devontae at Alabama. It's like, yeah, I know Devontae's not a number one. That's a heck of a number two. He's an unbelievable football player. Then I've always believed if you don't have red flags on defense, I've got red flags in the draft. Jalen Carter's dropping in the draft, and I'm sitting there going, please take him, please take him, please take him. And then, of course, they make the move to get Saquon. So it was like guys that the Giants could have all had that maybe change everything. It's like, no, the Eagles just straight up, they just pick them. Like, they just go and get them.
Yeah, they were saying that also, like, they just kept picking more defensive players.
Yes.
Even when people was looking at them crazy, I thought they
That was Booger's point post-game on ESPN was, hey, man, maybe when you're in the third round, like, take another defensive lineman.
Yeah, for sure.
And obviously Booger played D-line, so he wants to see D-linemen get their due, but it's like, I found myself agreeing with the big fella.
And even with the T. Higgins thing, Coach, even though Barrow is so good, if you're going to go against an Eagle defense, because I think the Chiefs did do this too long, though, kind of what the Patriots did for too long, because their quarterbacks were so good, they played with fire a little bit, feeling like they could always just and save money, like with letting the, what's the guy in Miami?
Tyreek.
I think he would have helped a lot last night because he's so fast. And you know, he's one guy that he can move quick, too, off a slant or this and that, you know, and you remember it was – years that Belichick and them, they kept the price down. It could be what they were just plugging people in there, and they great quarterbacks did handle it most of the time. But with Higgins and them, I think the Bengals is the type of team, oh, yeah, he can handle it. But sometimes you're going to need some of the best, like, you know. And
well, I mean, it's like Brady never really had great receivers. They go and trade for Randy Moss, and Brady sets an NFL record for touchdown passes, touchdown yards. It's like, oh, yeah, and Randy breaks every record known to man. Like, once they finally went and got him, like, a true number one, it made you, like, look at because I think for a while, there were a lot of people, Brady's a system quarterback. Then it's like, you saw when he just had Randy Moss, you're like, oh, that's not fair.
That was crazy.
I mean, that was insane. I mean, that's kind of the other thing. It's like, probably the best team ever is the one that couldn't get out of the 2007 Super Bowl. It's like, that team was insane.
Yeah, I hate Randy. Couldn't get one. And then early on, too, Jeff, I don't think they knew it was going to be a blowout, but like you just said about Kelce, he kind of early on dropped some balls,
yeah,
too. That was right there that I felt like when you're – they probably know they was going to get blitzed that bad, but if they could have knew that before, them little pieces of yards would have meant something because it could have kind of kept it – you was in the right spots, but it's like the free opportunities y'all had early, y'all didn't even – even though they were slim.
I totally agree with you. I think there was the thought of, okay, we've had slow starts before. We're going to figure this out. But the problem was they had the slow start, and then the pick six to me completely flipped the game. If that game stays within 10, because I thought another key moment, and we'll take a quick break right after this and talk Tigers and Muns. When they got the ball back with like a minute and a half left, but I think they're still down 24. I thought if they could go score there and then get the ball and score to start the second half, I thought there would be game on. But then Hopkins drops the pass where he's wide open. I mean, literally, there's people saying like he would have gotten down to the 25. It's like he drops that third and 11. They have to punt. And to me, like, that was all she wrote. All she wrote. All right, let's talk some Tigers. Tigers win yesterday, avenging their only conference loss, up to 14 in both of the polls. Let's talk about it with Muns next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at Munsley. Also, make sure you subscribe over to the Memphis Sports Newsletter. You can do so at commercialappeal.com/newsletters/Memphis Sports. Go sign up for that. Stay up to date with everything happening here in the Bluff City. He, of course, was at SmackDown on Friday night. And Munns, I got to be honest, when Cerrito was in here last week and we were looking at the ticket prices, I was like, oh boy, I don't know if that'll be a great crowd because those are some steep prices. Crowd looked like it was on fire, and I'm glad to see. Seems like the WWE continues to maximize gate profitability.
It was electric, Jeffrey, and main event Jey Uso was a big reason why, man. He had the entire building eating for, and I counted this up. I came back home later and watched the broadcast, and my wife and I timed, like we timed, you know, how long we yeeted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was over 15 minutes combined. Like, he came out at the beginning and did it, you know, cut a promo and stuff at the beginning, and there was a lot of it then. But then when he actually came out and did a match, there was a lot more. Because, like, he came out before the commercial and did a bunch, and then throughout the entire commercial break, it was nonstop. And then even when they got back from commercial, it was and so very, very sore for the last few days. It's a workout.
Because that was Cerrito's question was, is Jey Uso over? Is the Yeet cheer over? I think both are very over right now.
I think you're right, but that's a really good question. I mean, you know, I was talking to my wife about this, and like, we were trying to decide, like, is he more over than LA Knight was at his peak? I think he might be. You know, like, this is just one of those. But Cerrito brings up a really good point. I mean, this is just one of those things where it's very interactive, and, you know, not a ton. There isn't a ton of interactive, you know, entrances,
yeah,
or whatever. I mean, you know, you've got the call and response stuff with LA Knight and Stone Cold Steve Austin stuff in the past, but like, this is a very, very interactive
Angle.
Yeah. This is, I mean, like, honestly, this is about as close. I brought up the point, like, I wonder which is going to wind up being the bigger thing, Daniel Bryan's yes chant or this. I mean, like, it's, I don't know. We'll see.
No, he is most certainly on fire. Also at FedEx Forum on Sunday, the Tigers avenge their only conference loss of the year. They knock off Temple 90-82. I guess, though, the first question, though, is they do so without Tyrese Hunter. What's the latest on Tyrese?
The latest is that they don't know. I mean, it's truly day-to-day. Penny said yesterday evening that, you know, when they got to FedEx Forum, when he got to FedEx Forum, he walked into the training rooms and, you know, he said Tyrese had this look on his face like, listen, I'm going to try, but I don't feel good about it. And he did. Tyrese, you know, I watched him. He came out and he went through sort of an abbreviated light warm-up session. And, you know, you could tell he wasn't 100%. He wasn't like, it didn't look like he was in a ton of pain. That's what I think is important to specify here. I don't think that Tyrese is dealing with a lot of pain. It's just, it's stiffness and lack of explosiveness. And so, you know, Penny said it yesterday. He's like, I don't quite know why this or how this, you know, cropped up timing-wise, because he said usually it's the day after a game when he feels this way. This is the first time all season. I mean, he's been dealing with it all season. That's the other part of this, is he's been dealing with this all year. But yeah, he said that not once yet has it been a deal that's came up, you know, that's come up, right before a game. And so that threw everybody kind of for a loop. But, yeah, I think it's a day-to-day thing, and, it's just going to be a matter of how he feels on Thursday.
How did you feel they equated themselves without him?
I thought it was It was good. I wouldn't go so far as to call it great, but I mean, you know, because like it took them a little while, I think, to get their to get the feel for it. You know, 11. I think it was 11 turnovers.
I think it was 11 in the first half, 2 in the second.
Yeah, and so you know, I mean, that's kind of, that they've kind of been doing that here and there, where they've had these really ugly halves, and then they'll have a half where it's like. I mean, I went back and looked. The last turnover in the first half came with 4:25, so they only had 2 turnovers over the last 24-plus minutes, almost 24 and a half minutes, which is just really, really good. So I thought that they did really well, all things considered. You know, Penny said that he didn't find out until 20 minutes before tip-off, you know, that for sure Tyrese wasn't going to go, and that was the point in time when for sure Dante Harris knew he was going to start. So yeah, I think like taking everything into consideration, I think they did pretty well. They had more assists than turnovers. I think they had 16 assists, which was the 5th game in a row with at least that many. And they put up 90 points. I mean, it's hard to argue with that.
Do you take anything away from yesterday?
Besides just, you know, the fact that they're continuing to win. You could pull some stuff out. Like, Dane Danger is still, like, he's really rolling.
Yeah, he's playing extremely well. And I thought Musa gave him really good minutes, too.
He did, and Nick Jourdain contributed. Everybody contributed. PJ Carter contributed again. I think he finished with 8 points. I think they had 7 guys with 8 points or more and 4 guys in double figures. Colby hit a few threes. Like, to me, it was like the blueprint for success for Memphis, you know, for like how it's going to look if Memphis is going to win. That's what yesterday was. You got big games out of a couple of guys. You got solid, you know, really, really nice contributions from a couple of other guys. Dante Harris being one of them, finishing with 14 points, which was a very, very welcome sight.
No turnovers either.
Yeah, no turnovers. I think Dane had the most.
Yeah, he did 4.
4, yeah. So
Haggerty and Harris combined for 1 turnover.
Yeah, I mean, and Haggerty also had 7 assists.
Yep.
So, you know, I just think that as long as they're winning, it's going to kind of look like that. And but no, as far as like what you take away from it, it's just like it seems like Dane Danger has solidified himself. And tell me how you feel about this. Is Yaxel Lindeborg truly – is he a 5 or is he a 4 play in the 5? Because if he –
I'm bringing in Hurd on this. I view him as a 4, but Hurd – I'm letting Hurd be the basketball expert.
Okay.
Yeah, Hurd thinks a 4 too.
For who?
Yeah.
Lindenborg, the big for UAB. That's the other thing with the Andy like bigs, like Andy everybody's kind of playing outside in with Andy.
Yeah, even Christian Coleman, another one of their bigs. But so my point is, if he is a 4, even if he's a 5, I think what we've seen over the last 6 to 8 to 10 games from Dane Danger is that he has solidified himself as the best big in this conference.
Yeah.
And yesterday was just more evidence of that.
I mean, honestly, I kept thinking it's like if PJ is not as good as he is like, would he be pushing with how, as the Tigers keep winning, like, would he be pushing for conference player of the year? But it's like, well, it doesn't matter because PJ exists.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I go that far. He'd certainly be pushing for first team. You know, maybe. I mean, if PJ didn't exist, you know, then you get into the conversation of like, well, would David Jones be here? Or would they have someone else who would be doing PJ Haggerty things? I don't think so. But I mean, yeah. Like now that I think about it, you could make the argument like if Dane Danger was the go-to guy, if he was the guy on this team, then he would absolutely be in the conversation.
Has that solved the rebounding issues?
What's that?
The fact that Dane's been back in the starting lineup, and it allows them to kind of pick their spots with Musa. It doesn't feel like they're necessarily like taking turns like they were at one point.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things. You know, I think also it seems like it's not every game, and it's not all game every game, but it feels like Nick Jourdain has taken like some more responsibility for the rebounding aspect of Tigers games. And I think he's done a pretty good job of it. He, you know, obviously, again, nobody's perfect. There are times where it sort of comes and goes. But, you know, largely, if we're just talking about, if we're just isolating it down to the rebounding thing, I think Nick's been a big part of that, and I think the guards have too. You know, even Colby Rogers has tried to become more of a factor in the rebounding thing. So, but to your point, by and large, yes, I think Dane Danger is probably the biggest reason why that's not really a thing anymore. Like since the Temple, since getting out rebounded by, you know, 3 touchdowns and 3 2-point conversions.
Yeah, I was gonna say all of them.
Yeah, right. At Temple a few weeks ago, they've, you know, things have sort of calmed down, and I don't know. You know, the other part of it is also that they're playing a bunch of, you know, they're playing Rice and Tulsa and some of these other teams. But you know what? Like again, you don't give back wins, and you don't really. Most of the time, you don't complain too much about how they look and how you get there. And so Memphis has won 7 in a row, 11 of the last 12, 14th in both polls today. And, you know, the latest bracketology from Jerry Palm still has him as a 4 seed. So, yeah, all's well that ends well.
We're talking with Jason Munns of the Commercial Appeal Tiger Basketball Beat Writer. Follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Also, make sure you go subscribe to the Memphis Sports Newsletter over at commercialappeal.com. I was also thinking about this. They've played 24 games. They've won 20 of them. Because I was telling Jeff, 20 wins as a barometer is something I don't feel like I've cared about, honestly, in probably like 15 years. But when you say they've won 20 games and they've played 24, all of a sudden I do care about that. And is this the most stable season that we've seen with Penny Hardaway? Because the only other one that comes to mind is the Kendrick DeAndre year.
Right.
But at times, like, there could be a little friction. I don't know if that's the Malco factor or whatnot. Like, this team to me just feels like the story is that there really never is a story. They're stable. They're steady.
Yeah, I think that is probably accurate about this season compared to every other season since Penny's been here. Whether it means that, you know, the stuff that used to get out isn't getting out
yeah.
now, or whether it's just not happening, whatever the case may be, you know, it's working, and they're better for it. You know, you mentioned 20-4. You know, I was looking at this the other day. I found a place online on the NCAA's website where you can go and look at every team's team sheet.
Yeah.
Selection committee team sheet every day. They update every single day, and like you can compare and contrast. You can filter it down to, you know, you can pick whatever teams you want and compare whatever teams. And overall win loss record is still on there. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that you know, the team sheet that has 15 other, you know, like
metrics, ratings. Yeah.
You still got overall win-loss record. And I want to say, I was looking at this late last night, that Memphis is like top 12 or something in the country with 20 wins at this point in the season. The other thing is, I saw this earlier when Frank Murtaugh tweeted about it, that this Memphis has never been ranked as high as 14th in the country this late in a – or not never – it's been 16 years since Memphis has been ranked inside this high this late in the season. That kind of blew my mind a little bit. 16 years, that's a long time. And so anyway, yeah, it's impressive. Like, to your point, the fact that they've got 20 wins and they're still 4 or 5 weeks left in the season, it's notable and it's impressive, and they deserve a lot of credit. Penny and the team deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah, when you look at it like this, there are 6 teams that have more wins than them. Drake with 22, they have the most in the country. Auburn with 21, St. John's with 21, St. Mary's with 21, Utah State with 21, High Point with 21. Then it becomes Duke at 20-3, Tennessee at 20-3, Florida at 20-3, Bama 20-3, New Mexico 20-4, Memphis at 20-4, San Diego, UC San Diego, not San Diego, with all due respect to Steve Lavin, who I still can't believe tricked into getting another paycheck. UC San Diego is 20-4, Irvine 20-4, USF 20-6.
Well, there's a lot of teams on there where it's like, you know, yeah, they have 20 wins or 21 wins or whatever, but like, they're not viewed as highly as the Tigers are. But that's because among Memphis's 20 wins are the wins that they have against Michigan State and Clemson. And I want to get your take on this. What, now that we are this far into the season, what's Memphis's best win?
So I tend to lean to Michigan State.
Right, but I'm not – are we sure?
So the question with UConn is how much is their resume dictated by the fact that Liam has been hurt for so long?
Mm-hmm.
Then – I mean, the Ole Miss wins is holding up. The Mizzou won at Missouri against Ole Miss. I still think I lean Michigan State because, I mean, I don't know if Michigan State ends up winning the Big Ten, but they're certainly part of the conversation.
Yeah, so, I'm wondering if Clemson is it, you know?
I have a negative ACC handicap. I think the rest, I know they got the Duke win, and I'm not taking that away from them. The problem is, I just look at the rest of the ACC, and I'm like, that league stinks.
Yeah, but my point is like it was a true road game for Memphis. It was mid-December. It wasn't the first game of the season like Missouri was. Not discrediting the Missouri win by any stretch of the imagination. I think that may be like the third best win, the fourth best win. Maybe somewhere in there. I don't know. There's a bunch of good wins on this resume, on Memphis's resume. But anyway, I was just thinking about it the other day, like or the when Clemson beat Duke. Like Memphis won there. And Kentucky couldn't, Duke couldn't. So, you know, I just started thinking about it in those terms. Like, yeah, Clemson, I think, is around 30 now in the net, which is lower than Michigan State. It's lower than Ole Miss. It's lower than, I think it's lower than Missouri.
It's even lower than Mississippi State at 29. But there's also that reality that we've talked about where the SEC is now kind of getting credit now for playing each other.
Right, right. So I don't know. Again, like I said, it was on the road. It was mid-December, and again, it was in a building where some of the better teams in the country have not won this season. So
I think the other thing I like about the Michigan State win, and I don't like if you're going to say Clemson, I don't really have a problem with that. I thought, given how emotional that UConn game was, the fact that it went to overtime and then NC State, or a big part, then Michigan State plays a pretty comfortable game, and then you had to turn around and play a different style of basketball. Like, I just thought that was an impressive win, given all of the context around it.
Well, you're thinking like somebody pretty prominent that I talked to recently about this very thing, and I wrote a story that came out this morning on commercialappeal.com about the evolution of Penny Hardaway as a coach, and as part of that story, I talked to Kelvin Sampson. I got some time with Kelvin one-on-one over the phone, and he told me that he's obviously very busy. He said that he initially told me he had not seen Memphis play this season. And then we got to talking, and he goes, actually, I take that back. He goes, I watched the entire UConn game. He goes, I even texted Penny after the game, and he feels like that is their most impressive win. He said that was the sort of the I believe he called it the hello world moment for this team, for Penny. And, you know, again, at the time, UConn was still the big bad wolf. And, you know, to do it in that setting.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.